The University of Maine, seeded number 7 in the country, plays host to the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State. And to learn more about them, we're joined by the longtime voice of Jacksonville State football, Mike Parrish. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the invitation. I like the way you put that instead of saying I'm old. It's a long time, so.
Well, you know, I've been doing it a long time myself, but I got nothing on you. Did I see 35 years as the voice of the Gamecocks?
36, I think, is what it is. 1983 was the first year I started with this.
So
it's been a while.
When you were in what, middle school when you were doing that?
Yeah,
then?
Exactly. I tell everybody I was about 10 years old. I was just talking to someone just a little bit ago here in the state of Alabama. As a government employee, you can actually retire 25 years. And the problem is that the gentleman I was talking with, I don't know what I would do if I retire. I got nothing else I can do. You know, the guys in our physical plant, electricians, plumbers, whatnot, you know, they can go to work and make some money on the side or whatever when they retire. I'd have to be a greeter at Walmart or something.
I always say the same thing. You know, I do this and I teach school. I have one skill set. I can talk, and beyond that, I'm absolutely useless to anybody, as my wife will confirm.
Well, mine would do the same, believe me.
Well, we are very excited for this football game, Mike. Jacksonville State has had such a great tradition, so much success through the years. Though there have been some early exits from the playoff, with that in mind, how important was that win over East Tennessee on Saturday?
Well, I think it was huge. First of all, we were playing at home, and the last 2 years, you know, we've gotten a first-round bye. We were a national seed, and then we go down the In 16, it was Youngstown State. Last year, it was Kennesaw State, and they're only a third-year program. And we didn't play our best, I didn't think, last week. But we made some plays, and we had to and won the game. So I think just for everybody's sanity, it was nice for us to win and move on and get to round two now.
Well, it is a very impressive team. Let's start with the offense. And this guy, you got a quarterback, Zarek Cooper, a transfer from Clemson, and he looks like a big-timer out there.
He has played well. He started slowly. He hadn't had a whole lot of snaps since his high school days. He played some at Clemson, but didn't get many snaps. But he has gotten better throughout the year. He set a single-season passing record for most yardage passing in the year. He set the single-season touchdown passing record as well. So we sort of go as he goes. He's had some games, boy, I'm telling you, where he looked like he could win a Super Bowl for somebody. And then there's been a couple other outings where I'm not sure he could, you know, get his way through to the next game. I don't know if he's going to survive or not. But he's, for the most part, he has been very good. 30 touchdown passes. He has thrown 13 picks. And those interceptions have hurt us. Two of the three games we lost, our turnovers really killed us in the loss in the opener to North Carolina A&T, and then in our own lead with Southeast Missouri State.
Well, he's got a very talented receiver corps as well, led by Josh Pearson, who leads the nation with 17 touchdown receptions. He's got over 1,000 yards, but, man, the list just goes on and on with Jamari Hester, Daniel Byrd, and then Shaq Davidson, who had the big game last Saturday.
Yeah, Shaq had only 4 touchdown receptions in his career since transferring to us, and he gets 3 in one game last week. And Shaq's been a young man, great kid, smiles all the time. But he's had a bit of an injury bugaboo. He's been beat up quite a bit since he's been here, and in fact, had missed the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks after a bout with mononucleosis. So I jokingly said that he had fresh legs coming into the game last Saturday, because Saturday was the 10th consecutive week in which we had played. We had sort of a crazy schedule. We played the kickoff game in August, then had an open date, and then played Mississippi Valley State in our second game of the season, then had another open date. So we finished the regular season playing 9 straight weeks and then the first round of the playoffs. So anyway, Shaq's, he stepped up the other day. Josh Pearson, just a great story, a young man that had to battle some academic issues and things that weren't all his fault, quite honestly. There were some things, just some crazy things that happened that kept him from playing. So this is the first year he's really played since his senior year of high school. And he has gotten much, 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 much better throughout the season. Jamari Hester's a young man we signed out of high school down in Miami. And they really, big frame, 6'7" guy, and they were going to beef him up and make a tight end out of him. Unfortunately for Jamari, he just couldn't add any weight. So he stayed, you know, sort of thin and a wide receiver size. This year he has really become an outstanding player and a guy that we can count on and depend on in our offense.
Well, you've got a very talented running back as well. I was quite impressed with what we saw on Saturday night from Jalen Green. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he's a young man. We're about an hour and a half to 2 hours from Atlanta, from the Atlanta area, and he is from the Atlanta area. went to Cincinnati, just wasn't getting any playing time a whole lot there, so he transfers here. And we started the season. We didn't have a running back who had carried a football in a college game when we opened up back in August against North Carolina A&T. So we've sort of done it by committee, but now the last 2 weeks, he's been very solid. He had 93 yards in the game, the 5 overtime loss we had with Kennesaw State, who's the number 4 national seed in the playoffs. And then his 100-yard game was only the second 100-yard rushing game we've had this season, and was the first by one of our running backs. So he picked an opportune time. He made some big plays in the game against East Tennessee State Saturday.
We're talking with Mike Parrish, the voice of Jacksonville State football. Your defense, awfully good as well. A couple of standouts that I saw from Saturday's game, the work of Jalen Choice at linebacker. He looked awfully good. Of course, Marlon Bridges with the pick six. Trey Threat with some big plays on defense. And most impressive is the stat that stands out to everybody, and that's this team's success getting off the field on third down. What's the key to that, Mike?
Well, we've just had some guys that, you know, are able to make plays. In fact, since John Gross has been our head coach and he took over in 2014, opponents in the John Gross era, I think it's only like 27% is what they're converting on third down. So we've been able to do this for a number of years. And then I think the key has been throughout these years, and we've been able to stop the run and force people into, you know, long yardage passing situations, third and 7, 8, 9 or whatever like that. And makes it a little tougher to convert on third down. So I think that's been the key from there. You mentioned Jalen Choice. He's a guy that played some in his first 2 years, but he was playing behind older guys, so more or less waited his turn. And now he's taking that opportunity. He's our leading tackler coming in. He's from down at Tuscaloosa where that other school that's pretty good plays, you know, down there, University of Alabama. So, but he replaced a guy that had been a 3-year starter when he took over this year at inside linebacker. And then Marlon Bridges has been terrific. Came in as a high school signee, redshirted his freshman year, was a freshman All-American, and was first-team All-League last year, again, All-American. He was preseason defensive player of the year heading into this season. And he was hurt early, and really just the second half of the season has gotten healthy, and you can tell his play, it has picked up tremendously since the first half of the season. So that interception you were talking about was actually his second pick six of his career. And then Trey Threat's a young man. He's from down in South Alabama toward the coastal area of Alabama, and was at Auburn and was just caught up in the numbers, wasn't playing a whole lot, transferred here. And he had the biggest game of his Jacksonville State career here on Saturday. He had only 2 sacks all season going into that game, and he had 2 in the first half against East Tennessee State, and then recovered a huge fumble in the end zone that kept them from scoring. So, you know, we needed all of the stuff that he did to help us win Saturday.
Well, all those guys are great, Mike, but I've already got a favorite of all the Gamecocks, and that's your place kicker, Cade Stinnett.
I think it was Bleacher Report did something on him last year. His dad was the place kicker on our 1992 Division II National Championship team that we had. And let's just say Cade is somewhat larger than dear old dad was. In fact, he makes about 2 to 3 of his dad. He's 6'1", about 270. Great kid, you know, nothing really bothers him. And he's had a pretty good career, and I think he and his dad go back and forth all the time about who's the best kicker. In fact, he's chasing down dear old dad right now to pass him on our all-time scoring list. So if he gets some chances Saturday, hope he can cash in and connect on those.
Well, what has to go well? This is such an interesting matchup. I think it's a simplification to say Maine with a great defense, Jacksonville State with a great offense, because obviously your defense is very good and Maine has at times an explosive offense. What do you think has to work well for the Gamecocks on Saturday?
Well, the 3 losses we've had this year, we have had turnovers, 2+ in each turnover. So I think that's the biggest thing, is staying away from turnovers. And since the opening game, we've been pretty good. But that season opening loss that we had, we also committed 14 penalties in that one. And we haven't been anywhere close to that since then. But we've got to stay away from senseless or needless penalties as well. And, we got to figure out a way to move it somehow against the main defense. And then I think one of the other keys is being still continue to be able to get off the field on third down. I know Maine's had some injuries at quarterback, and I think he's supposed to be back from what I've seen. And And, they've had, I think they've had the ability to play ball control and keep it away from the opposing team. And I think we have to avoid letting them have long ball control drives Saturday as well. And I say we, and some people probably don't like that, but I am an employee of the university, so it makes it a little easier, I guess, for me to be able to get away with saying that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, people up here get all excited and talk about the weather and say, oh, man, Alabama team coming up here to Maine in December. But it was a little chilly there in Jacksonville on Saturday night. And for us here, fairly mild weather coming up on Saturday with temperatures in the low to mid-30s. I think that gets overblown. Is that even a factor once everybody laces them up and gets out there?
Well, if you haven't lived in the South, I think it's a little different. The cold weather here, the humidity plays a part. I really think in traveling with our teams, and I do our broadcast for all of our sports, so you know, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm going all across the country, especially this time of the year. But I think there's a little difference in the cold in the South. It bites you a little more because of the humidity and the dampness. That was one thing Saturday night. The temperature was about 44, but the wind also was blowing at about 10 to 15 miles per hour. Plus, it was damp-like, so it made it feel really a whole lot colder than what it really was. It was 22 degrees here this morning. It was colder here this morning in Jacksonville, Alabama than it was in Ottawa, Ontario, is what I understand. So, unlike what some people think, it does get cold here. As long as there's not any of that white stuff falling out of the sky Saturday when we play, I think our guys will be able to handle it. You know, they've gone, in fact, a little bit earlier. They've done some stuff early in the morning because it's a noon kickoff Eastern time, which is 11 a.m. for us, which means our guys are going to be pregame much earlier than what they normally do. So our coaches have tried to adapt a little bit to that and get some things going early morning this week so they'll be ready and prepared for that 11 o'clock kickoff, because the one early kick we had this year, we didn't get started. We didn't kick start it very good to begin with. So I think that's one thing that caused a little bit of concern for the coaches heading into this week. So we'll see if that plays a part Saturday too.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be...
I just want some lobster, okay?
I think they'll probably serve that in the press box.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. Okay, that'd be great. Sign me up for about two or three plays.
Yeah, don't hold your breath, Mike.
We had a former basketball coach here who played at Maine, so I think it was his second or third year here as our basketball coach. We played in a tournament up there. It was in... I think it was in December, somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We actually came up and played in 2002. So that is my only trip to the state of Maine in my lifetime.
Well, we're going to roll out the red carpet for you on Saturday. We're looking forward to a great game. Mike, we appreciate you making time for us. Travel safely, and we'll see you up there over the lobster bisque on Saturday morning.
All right. Rich, I appreciate it. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. It's Mike Parrish, the voice of the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State. Noontime start coming up on Saturday at Alphon Stadium, second round of the FCS playoffs.